From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to the show. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. It's Monday. It's exciting. It's the start of a new week. We love coming in on Mondays. We just do.
Behold a fiendish masterpiece from the bowels of hell. Yeah. Mondays, boy, I hate Mondays. They make me so steamed. Weekends, I prefer the weekends. Son of a...
So welcome to the show. If you guys are enjoying streaming us on the webcam here, you probably notice that I'm not the camera, the microphone way in front of my face. And the reason is that I'm trying to hide my co-host and my You guys didn't know I had a new co-host, did you? My new co-host is rare for a person my age. I have a very bad skin blemish. Apparently this happens to other people. I don't like it, but it's happened.
Ooh, wow.
It's a pimple, Phyllis. Avril Lavigne gets them all the time, and she rocks harder than anyone alive.
This is ridiculous. I know this is super vain, but I was actually trying to investigate how we turn these cameras off, because this is an audio medium. I don't know why people need to watch us. I'm happy when they do, when my skin looks youthful and nice, but I guess one of the trade-offs of youthful skin is that sometimes you get pimples, and it's no fun. Yes, thank you, Matt. Let's see here. Did you guys have a great weekend? Over the weekend, sorry for talking about my pimple. It's ridiculous. It's just so stupid. Why do we get those things at 40? What kind of a 40-year-old gets these? I don't know if it's because I ate like 500 cupcakes over the last 2 weeks. That probably has something to do with it. But I've given you guys a look behind the curtain. You're seeing a little bit of my vanity, and I apologize for sharing too much. But whatever, I just share everything with you guys. All right, this weekend, super fun. I had a birthday party for one of my sons, just turned 9 years old, my oldest son. Thank God we chose to move the party like 3 weeks ago. We were like, hey, you know what? A lot of people wouldn't be able to make the party on a Saturday because of baseball games and stuff, so why don't we do it on a Sunday instead? We're not trying to be sacrilegious. We did it late so people could still go to church. And we happened to catch like the nicest chunk of weather. We had like sunny degrees. It was phenomenal. So great. It was just fantastic. So we get to celebrate my kid's birthday this week, a little later in the week too. We had the party a little ahead of time. But so happy birthday to my oldest son who doesn't listen to the show because he is a small child. And why would a small child listen to this show? All right. Every single night we do a trivia clip. We play a little clip from a movie that you may know or you may not know. You are welcome to take a guess on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. I would be interested if you guys know this one. I love this movie. I thought it was fantastic. I think it even got nominated for some Oscars. I'm not 100% sure on that, but if they won. I do think they were nominated, though. Phenomenal performance by the lead actor here, which you guys will probably know if you listen to him. So I'm going to let you take a guess on that. You can hit us up on the text line, 888-973-5476. Again, you win my respect. But again, it's a respect of a guy who still gets pimples, so take that for what it's worth. And if you don't know the answer, listen to the start of the next hour, the top of the news roundup. I will just give it to you for free. You don't even have to do anything. I'll just give you the answer. Here's the clip. Very best of luck.
Those arches have a lot in common with those buildings. A building, well, a cross on top, what is that? It's a gathering place where decent, wholesome people come together and they share values protected by that American flag. It could be said that that beautiful building flanked by those arches signifies more or less the same thing. It doesn't just say delicious hamburgers inside. They signify family. It signifies community. It's a place where Americans come together to break bread. I am telling you, McDonald's can be the new American church, feeding bodies and feeding souls, and it ain't just open on Sundays, boys.
No, it ain't. All right, take a guess on that text line. Let me know what you think. All right, let's get to some news. I gotta say, I'm surprised by this. This does not take long. I'm surprised that the city of Seattle is actually acknowledging. I guess in a weird way, they're acknowledging it, but they're not promising they're actually going to do anything about it. That remains to be seen. But they are acknowledging that something is not working with this new controversial gig worker law. You can read all about this on MyNorthwest.com. There's a headline. Just click on this headline. Seattle looks to change controversial gig worker law. And basically, less than two months after this took effect, the city of Seattle is looking at changing its controversial pay-up ordinance That's ironically named, although I don't think they named it ironically at the time. But it certainly sounds ironic now. A little history on the pay-up ordinance. If you guys don't know what the pay-up ordinance is, back in 2022, the Seattle City Council adopted this ordinance, which would set a gig worker minimum wage at, I think it's $26.40 an hour, which is more than $6 above what the Seattle minimum wage is. The minimum wage in Seattle is $19.97 an hour. But they decided it because gig workers who are, you know, specifically in this case, drivers for Uber Eats, DoorDash, places like that, because they also are driving around and they have maintenance on their cars and it costs them gas and all these different things, that I guess the working theory was that they should be making more. One of the things I think they were trying to do here, and we see politicians do this all the time, they wanted to be able to make the claim. City of Seattle, City Council, wanted to be able to make the claim that in the city of Seattle, drivers for those places, Uber Eats, DoorDash, and the like, could make more here than anywhere else in the country. They could plant their flag there and they could say, hey, they're going to make more here than anywhere else. California recently did something like this. Also not going great there. We'll get into that in just a second. There's a direct comparison here. But listen to this. So that's the history. They adopted this thing back in 2022. It went into effect in January of this year. And now here we are, like, you know, 3 months into the year, and it's not going good at all. Like, it went the opposite of good. It went very, 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 very bad. King 5 actually talked to some of these drivers. Listen to this. One of these drivers says it just plain backfired. And he describes what it used to be like on a Sunday before this ordinance went into effect and what it is like now, which is not even worth working.
Sundays before the ordinance, we'd be thinking breakfast.
Fewer orders.
You know, people, they love their breakfast. Sunday today, I don't even touch it. They're not going to order. And it's definitely backfiring.
So another one of the drivers that they talked to, and we're going to get to the update here in a second. Seattle City Council is actually going to look at this again. Not that that means anything, but they're going to look at it. Another one of the drivers they talked to said that, okay, this promise of $26.40 an hour, it sounds good in theory. I mean, just like saying that if somebody made $50 an hour, that would sound even better. But it doesn't mean that those companies are going to actually pay you that money, because it doesn't mean that you're actually going to get work steadily all hour. $26.40 an hour is quite a great deal higher than the minimum wage. And so this driver says, listen, we are not making anywhere near that.
Assuming that you are working constantly, then yes, you're going to be making that much money. But that's not what's happening right now, because people are not ordering as much anymore.
So Seattle City Council President Sarah Nelson, this is from the article. You can read this. This is interesting. She confirmed that she's talking with app-based delivery companies and their drivers about modifying the law that boosted driver pay, which she says has had consequences. She says drivers are not getting paid what they were before. Restaurants aren't getting the orders that they were before. So the revenues are down and customers are finding it too expensive to order. That's absolutely true. What happened was, when this thing went into effect, one of the unintended consequences, they say, one of the things that they just couldn't foresee, but which everybody who has ever run a business foresaw, was that when you force companies to pay higher wages artificially, when it's more than the demand, those companies just pass those costs along to the customer. And so all these companies just went, a bunch of them said, hey, you know what? We're just going to tack on this fee. If you're going to force us to pay more than $5 an hour, more than the minimum wage, I guess we could just put a delivery fee on, or a surcharge, just a little fee to tap on here. It's going to be $5 per order. And suddenly you found that the customers are going, like, wait a minute. Like, if I'm ordering a $9 burrito from Chipotle and I want to tip the driver because I'm a nice guy and they're doing me a great service so I don't have to leave my couch and I have to pay this extra fee of $5, suddenly my $9 burrito is turning into a $19 burrito and maybe I can just drive there on my own. Or better yet, a lot of folks are deciding maybe I just don't need that burrito. I can just make some eggs and chill out at my house. It's a lot cheaper. So all these small mom-and-pop businesses, too, started being negatively affected because nobody's ordering food anymore in the city of Seattle. Now, magically, this does not happen in Bellevue. People still order a lot in Bellevue. And up in my neck of the woods, in Snohomish County, people are still ordering a lot of food from Uber Eats and DoorDash, Instacart, but they don't have those same fees. So now the city of Seattle is stepping in and saying, hey, you know what? We may have done something here that we need to figure out. Let's see here. Drivers. No, I already read that part. She says this is an example of legislation that is having unintended consequences that are having wide impacts. Yes, that's true. We already covered that. The executive director of a driver advocacy group called Drive Forward, his name is Michael Wolf, said that he actually predicted that this would happen. He said Drive Forward is at the table with Sarah Nelson as she looks at changing the law, and the group was involved in talks with the council before the current law was passed. Let's see here. The manager of government relations for DoorDash says this is not just about paying the minimum wage. It's about paying well above that. Ann Powell, who told Cairo News Radio last month as she defended the company's new $5 fee. Critics claim the app-based delivery companies shoulder the blame for the current fallout from the Seattle law, saying that they can absorb the cost of higher pay for drivers. Yahoo Finance reported that DoorDash revenue increased in the fourth quarter of last year by 27% year over year to $2.3 billion. But Wolf, again, he's the Drive Forward director, executive director, who works with all these drivers. He said it's naive to think the companies wouldn't pass the cost along to consumers. He says, I have yet to see a company that's just going to eat increased cost just because. And he's absolutely right. This is happening in California, too. Listen to this in California. This is very similar, and I think there's something to be learned here for people in Seattle City Council, who I just heard in Lisa's news report they're going to be meeting, and hopefully they can, I don't know if there's a way to reverse this. I hope that they can just shut it off. That would be probably the best thing for these drivers and these mom-and-pop businesses who are losing a ton of money. I think it was DoorDash I saw. I could be wrong about that, but I think it was DoorDash who gave some of their data, and they said, like, since this thing went into effect, they've had 30,000 fewer orders. And that was in the first couple of weeks of this thing, of this ordinance, you know, going into effect. 30,000 fewer orders. Think of that. I mean, think of what that is on local businesses. 30,000 fewer orders. That's like pandemic shutdown levels. I mean, not quite, but it's pretty bad. So this is what happened in California. I think people can look south here and maybe glean something from what's happening in California right now. And is about to happen on April 1st. So last September, Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of California, in case you guys don't know, he posted this about fast food workers in his state. He said new fast food workers in California will now be paid the highest minimum wage in any state in the country. He says, I just signed a bill that will ensure that these workers receive the fair pay that they deserve. This, again, this is in September of 2023. So just like in 2022, when they adopted the pay up ordinance, it went into effect in January of 2024. This new California law, again, specifically targeted at fast food workers, pay them a $20 an hour minimum wage across the board, will go into effect on April 1st. So how are companies responding to this? Because again, California doesn't own all these fast food restaurants, just like Seattle doesn't own Uber Eats. They can merely say what they're going to set the minimum wages, minimum wage in their cities. They can't actually decide what the companies decide to do with that information. So here's what's happening in California. Wall Street Journal took a deep dive into this. They said California restaurants are reportedly laying off staff and reducing hours for other team members in an effort to cut costs ahead of a California state law taking effect on April 1st that will raise fast food workers' hourly wage to $20 an hour. In the months leading up to the wage mandate, California eateries, particularly pizza joints, have established a plan to cut jobs according to state records obtained by the Wall Street Journal. They said the Pizza Hut and Round Table Pizza, a Menlo Park, California founded chain, they have about 400 pizza parlors, mostly on the West Coast, and they said that their plan is just to lay off their 1,300 delivery drivers. So yes, Gavin Newsom said we're going to make $20 an hour minimum wage, and Pizza Hut and Round Table said, well, we can't afford to pay these guys $20 an hour. So what we're going to have to do instead, the unintended consequence, I guess, is that they're all these guys are just going to lose their jobs, guys and gals. They're just going to lose their jobs, and instead they're going to pass the delivery driving over to Uber Eats and Instacart and DoorDash. And so, you know, that's a pretty bad unintended consequence that all these people are just losing their jobs. And just like in Seattle, all those drivers who suddenly just can't make a side gig wage anymore because nobody's ordering food, that's a pretty bad deal. So I hope Seattle City Council actually steps in and does the right thing and figures out how to roll this thing back and just go, you know, like that's a great thing that I love. I love that about our leaders who can actually make this, who can actually admit when they've made mistakes. Now, this rarely ever happens. But when they can, and when they can say, hey, you know what? Like in the city of Seattle, they just had some city council turnover, and maybe because they're talking about being more business friendly now, maybe they can decide this is not good for small businesses. In fact, this is really bad for small businesses. And the drivers who we were trying to help out, and like we can give them the benefit of the doubt that they were trying to help those drivers. The drivers were trying to help out. We didn't do them any favors either. So maybe we should just stay out of it. And I think that's probably what they should do. Because the other thing you got to think about here is like, yes, they're able to make the claim that, like, you know, Gavin Newsom in California is able to make the claim that they had the most highest minimum wage for fast food workers, $20 an hour. And Seattle City Council, for a very short time, until it actually went into effect and the writing was on the wall, they were able to say that gig workers here in Seattle are going to have the highest minimum wage of anywhere in the entire country, $26.40 an hour. But if those workers aren't able to actually get any orders, if there's no orders to fill and they can't get that, they can't actually make any wages, then what good is a super high minimum wage? It could be $30 an hour. It could be $40 an hour. That's great. It's great for the politician to make that claim, but it doesn't do anything for the worker, like not a bit. So I'm excited, actually, that Seattle City Council is stepping in and saying that they're going to try to investigate what's going on here. And I hope that they do the right thing, because I think we all know what the right thing is.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right, this story is ridiculous, and it's cotton candy, and it's super light. But that's my zone. Today Show. I don't know if you guys watch the Today Show. I don't. I'm not one of the people that watches Today Show. I have a life. I'm busy. I'm doing stuff in the mornings. I'm taking kids to school. I'm making lunches. I'm doing all that stuff. From time to time, they do have some interesting things. There is a school in Utah. It's known as Payson High School. You don't know Payson High School from a hole in the wall, but what you probably do actually know it from is the movie Footloose. The movie Footloose was filmed there a long time ago, and the students at Payson High School are still really jacked up about Footloose. Do you guys remember the movie Footloose? Such a good song. Kenny Loggins, just a quick side note, Kenny Loggins just gets better with age. He's like Brad Pitt. Those two guys just keep getting better and better with age. And his singing, Kenny Loggins singing, he could hit the high notes when he was like in his 20s. And he was a musical genius. I don't know if you guys know this, but like he was actually a phenom. He wrote some really popular like pop music songs when he was a teenager. Just like a phenomenally successful young guy. He has totally maintained. He's great. Anyway, I don't need to tell you what Footloose is or how great Kenny Loggins is. That's not the story. So students at Payson High School, Footloose was filmed there 40 years ago, and they are getting a new school. And so they thought, and finally, it's been a long time that they've been at Footloose, but I'm sorry, not at Footloose, at that high school. They're finally getting, I guess they built a new high school in their town. So all the students are moving over. This is their last year at Payson High School, the hallowed ground where Kevin Bacon danced around. So the students at that school did what all young people do. They went on TikTok and they tried to get Kevin Bacon's attention, and they want to invite him to prom, which is coming up.
These might be
Today Show that showed up at Payson High School and talked about this. The TikTok campaign, I guess, gained a little steam and got some attention.
The most famous lockers in America.
I think so. I mean, even we get to follow in Kevin Bacon's footsteps every single day.
Back in 1984, in the hit movie Footloose, Kevin Bacon became a cult hero, taking on a small town that's outlawed dancing to hold a senior prom while teaching his best friend to dance.
So should we give it a try?
And while the town in Footloose is fictitious, the school where they shot it is not.
This is Kevin Bacon's locker. This place is like a time capsule to the 1980s.
Utah's Payson High School became a working movie set for Footloose, and they are proud of it.
Can you walk down these halls and not think about the movie?
No. When I walk down the halls, I feel like I'm in the movie.
How much work have you put into this campaign?
Well, basically this whole year has been the Footloose year.
What would it mean to you guys if Kevin Bacon showed up?
Everything, just because of all the work we've put in.
I think it just would be so unforgettable. Like, we made a big difference and we were able to get a movie star to come back to face in. Like, that's insane.
All right, so they do this TikTok campaign. They learn all the dances. They do all the things. They're so all social media, really savvy. So the word gets out there. Today's show comes back to this live assembly that they're going to have at the school. And everybody's abuzz with excitement because there's going to be a special guest. And there's a big screen that's rolled out. And who do you think shows up on the big screen? Kevin Bacon.
Yeah! Guys, the students here at Payson have worked so hard to get Kevin Bacon to prom, led by Ruby and Caleb here. And guys, prom is only a month away, so I think it's about time for a big announcement. Can I get everybody's attention? Quiet down for just a second. I cannot do the honors here. I want to welcome in someone live from the set of his new movie in Atlanta, Georgia. Kevin Bacon, you with us?
Hey, everybody. What's going on, Payson High School? How are you guys doing? I have been so impressed with everything that's been going on there with this crazy idea to get me to come back. You know, I don't need to say it, but the movie and Payson High School was a big part of my life, and I've been amazed at the work that all of you have been putting into this with the, you know, the musical and the flash mobs and the recreations, and the it hasn't gone unnoticed by me, not to mention the fact that you've tied in 6degrees.org, our foundation, and are trying to figure out ways to give back to your community. It's really inspirational. So thank you, and I'm going to come. I got to come.
Yeah! So everybody freaks out. I had to wonder, though. I mean, I know that they attend this high school, and there's picture. Like, the funny thing is there's pictures up of Kevin Bacon all over the high school walls. I wonder if they put that up just for the Today Show appearance, or if these kids are literally walking around with pictures of this guy. Do they even know? Do kids even know what Footloose is anymore? I mean, I know they made another Footloose a couple years ago with Miles Teller. But isn't that the Footloose that they would know? Would they know the Kevin Bacon Footloose? Because he's their grandpa's age, I would think. But they all seem really, really excited that he's going to come. The crowd freaks out, just loses their minds. Also, teenagers are like, they tend to lose their minds when they got cameras on them and they're in a crowd. There's like kind of a mass hysteria, I think, that kicks in. Also, Today's Show is there, just like getting them all excited. So I don't know if they're that excited about Kevin Bacon. But they seem very excited about Kevin Bacon. I would be excited about Kevin Bacon.
Kevin, incredible. This place is going absolutely wild. Now, Ruby, Caleb, you guys warned me. If you got this news, this place would explode. You weren't wrong. Kevin's still listening. What do you want to say to him? What kind of party can he expect at Payson?
Let's dance. We're going to do it. This is awesome. Yes!
We're going to party really hard, Kevin.
I'm glad to hear it.
Party for you.
We're going to party so hard, Kevin. He then kind of slides over to the Today Show host, and they start talking to him for a second, and he reminds everyone how old they all are.
Wow.
Kevin, thank you.
Thank you for saying yes. Freaking out.
Well done, sir. Thank you, Kevin.
Listen, you're welcome. You're welcome. I can't believe it's been 40 years, but what are you going to do?
Can't believe it's been 40 years. All right, very quickly before we got to get to break here. This is strange. I want you guys to go in. This is a little homework for you. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. This was just something that I found fascinating. You guys know who Bruce Springsteen is? That's a dumb question, but since we're talking about like 80s stuff. Yeah, ooh. Bruce Springsteen. I've never heard of him. He's really obscure. He calls himself the Boss. He is back on stage. I guess he was off because he has something called peptic ulcer disease, and he's been dealing with that. But he came back on stage in Phoenix. He's wearing like a red flannel shirt. I'm just describing to you what he looks like because it's kind of bizarre looking, but it makes total sense. He's wearing a red flannel shirt. He's wearing dark jeans. His flannel shirt is like pulled way open in Bruce Springsteen style. And he has like, I don't know, he's got a very smooth looking chest. But he's 74 years old now. And he has like, Bruce Springsteen has always, in my head at least, he's well before my time, but he has always had dark, like, cool guy hair. And now he has white grandpa hair. And Bruce Springsteen with white grandpa hair is just a bizarre look. It looks very strange. But again, the guy's 74 years old. And so I don't actually think, like, when you think about 74, that's not young.
You look so old.
Yes, he does look old. But 74 is old. And you're just kind of reminded like how old these guys are. Or you look at Kevin Bacon, you're like, oh my gosh, that guy was in Footloose 40 years ago. Where does time go? It's insane. And now Bruce Springsteen, he looks like Father Time, like a really like hip Father Time. But he's back. He's going to continue this tour that he was doing, which I guess is in like 17 countries, 52 dates throughout the rest of the year. So you can't shame him for what he's doing. I mean, he's probably more active than I could be.
And he plays some long shows, too. Like, yeah. He gives it his all when he's on stage.
Yeah, that's what I hear. He's very, very good. But you know what? Like, Father Time comes for us all. You can't do anything about it. I might recommend some Hair Club for Men for him. You know, just young it up a little bit. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. You guys into politics? You want to talk a little bit of politics? Politics is kind of fun from time to time. All right, this was kind of interesting. The Biden campaign is apparently taking a page out of the Trump playbook. They have come up with a nickname for the former president. They sent an email out to supporters last week, and they referred to Donald Trump as Broke Don. And this is in reference to all the political stuff he's dealing with. You know, he had to come up with that, like, giant bond. I think in New York City, what was it, like $464 million or something like that. It was just a ton of money. Trump couldn't come up with it. The other thing that they were talking about with Broke Don, I guess the Democratic National Committee, is that what they're called, the DNC? They have a lot of money right now. They have, you know, they have to report on these things from time to time. They have to report on how much cash they have on hand. Apparently, right now, Biden has about $97 million, almost $100 million in their war chest. That's all reelection campaign stuff. But the RNC and the Trump campaign only have about $44 million on hand, less than half. And so they were calling him Broke Don, which was kind of funny. Here's the thing, though. Team Biden needs to be careful about this. I totally respect people using names, clever names of their opponents. I have no problem with that. Trump does it a ton. I have no issue with it. It's kind of funny, and it makes politics kind of funny. The problem, though, for Team Biden is that Team Trump, specifically just Trump, this is like one of the things he excels at, is coming up with clever names for his opponents. Do you guys know who a guy named George Bernard Shaw is? I was looking some of this stuff up, and his name popped up. He is an old-timey Irish playwright and critic. And he wrote one time, he said, "Never wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty and the pig likes it." Trump loves this. This is like his favorite thing in the world to do. And I put together a little compilation, some of his greatest hits. Every time somebody is in his way, every time he's running against somebody, he just comes up with like, he's like a human caricature artist where he just finds that tiny little thing that they might be, you know, worried about, or they might be self-conscious about. Like if he was in here right now doing the show with me, he would just refer to me as Pimple, which wouldn't be fun. I wouldn't feel good about it, but he'd be right. I have a pimple right now. It's embarrassing. So Trump comes up with these nicknames and they're pretty cutting and they're pretty funny. And so if Team Biden wants to dip into this, you know, name-calling business, they might want to make sure that they're ready for it.
Crazy Bernie, Pocahontas, that's this Elizabeth Warren. I call her Goofy.
Sloppy Steve.
Jeb Bush, we call him Low Energy, Low Energy. Lion Ted, Lion Ted. Lion, L-Y-I-N apostrophe. We can't say it the right way. We got to go Lion, Lion Ted.
I call him Little Marco. Little Marco Rubio. Little Marco Rubio.
Just now coming in, I watched this lightweight Rubio, total lightweight, and little mouth on him. Bing, 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 bing.
Crooked Hillary. She's crooked.
Crooked Hillary Clinton.
Who is more dishonest? Crooked Hillary Clinton or the media?
Or the media.
Crooked, crooked, crooked Hillary. Or as I would call her, Crooked Hillary. She is a crooked one. There's no question. Now, Sleepy Joe would say the unemployment rate in the great state of Ohio. No, no, you're in South Carolina. Joe, you're in South. They come up with, you ever see the guy, the note? No, no, it's South Carolina, it's not Ohio. Okay. Then he goes, all right, Iowa? Did you say Iowa? No. I did that like 7 times. If I did that once, it would be the end of the road, right? They'd say Trump has lost it.
No, no, Christie's, he's eating right now. He can't be bothered. Sir, please do not call him a fat pig. That's very disrespectful. Don't
so
call
ridiculous.
Him. See, I'm trying to be nice. Don't call him a fat pig. You can't do that. So now, because you're not allowed to do that, and therefore we're not going to do it, okay? We want to be very civil, right?
They want to be very civil. Yeah, that's what Trump is. He wants to be very, very civil. Again, like George Bernard Shaw said, I'd never heard this quote, but it makes me sound smart, and I like it. I think it's really true. Never wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty, and the pig likes it. All right, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got the news roundup next. We just got a lot of great stuff. Stick around. Lisa Brooks is going to join us. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.